Thank you, Robin. We will be in the Gospel of Matthew today. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. And if you don't have a Bible with you, if you grab one of the little black pew Bibles that should be in front of you, it would be on page 814. So the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. So we are continuing our journey in Matthew, and it's been a while since we looked at it, so I wanted to give you just a short summary of where we are. Jesus has been teaching and doing miracle after miracle, healing after healing, and if we look at chapter 9, verses 33 through 34, we see the reactions of the crowds and the Pharisees. If you're there, look at it, Matthew 9, 33, and when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." So the reactions of the Pharisees was to call Jesus demonic. But Jesus went on. Look at 9:35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." So we notice the heart of Jesus on display in verse 36. He had compassion on the crowds. And then comes the plea. Pray for laborers to be sent out. And that's where we pick it up in our passage today. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. And Jesus called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. I might say apostles a number of times just to warn you ahead of time because for some reason it comes out that way. So he called to himself his 12 disciples and gave... I skipped way down. Okay. Matthew 10, verses 1 through 15, starting over. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey or tunics or sandals or a staff for the laborer deserves his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable in the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town." Let's pray together. Father, we have gathered today come together and worship you. And Father, as we come together and we sing those wonderful songs we sang, Father, I, I pray that our hearts are in love with you, our hearts see you for who you are, a God who loves and cares for his people, a God who loves and cares and has sent his only son to this earth to be born, live a sinless life, and to be crucified for us, to bear our sins upon him, and be raised the third day and seated now at your right hand as he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So we come here today, Father, to sit under, humbly sit under the word that Jesus is. Thank you for it. I pray that this word then seals in our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. In his name I pray, amen. So how does this historical passage relate to us? We are not apostles. We don't raise the dead. This passage is relevant because Jesus is the same yesterday as today, as tomorrow, and forever. God's predetermined plan is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and eternity. And God's message is the same. We need to step back and take a look at the big picture because we are part of God's plan. We are part of his plan, and we are now the ones delivering the message of good news. God created man, and man sinned, and sin cursed the earth and humanity, and death came upon the earth, and then God chose a people, Israel, his people, to carry his word and his light, to carry the good news. Then God, then Israel sinned, and they repented, and they sinned again, and they repented. And through it all, God promised a chosen one who would save sinners. In this passage we are in, we are looking at that Messiah, that chosen one of God, Jesus. Jesus. He has made his presence known, as now he is sending out 12 apostles out to the lost sheep of Israel, telling them now the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is what we will look at. We will look at Jesus sending out his 12. But because we have scripture now, we know the rest of the story. We know how God's plan continues. And this is what we'll look at. How this passage relates to us. The plan unfolds through the Gospels and into the book of Acts. The apostles did what God intended for them to do. And after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the ascension, the apostles, through the working of the Holy Spirit, started the church. And now the church is God's chosen means to tell the world about Jesus. The church is God's chosen means now to tell the world about the gospel of God, the good news of God, and that the kingdom of God is at hand. So this passage is relevant because although the way we do it is a bit different, the message is the same, and there is much we can learn and apply in the sending of these 12 by Jesus. So let's go through this passage and look at Jesus. This passage is all about Jesus. Let's look at Jesus, our sovereign Lord, and we will see Jesus as sovereign Lord and apply this truth. And there's four ways that we see him as sovereign Lord. First, we see him as sovereign Lord as he calls his people for a purpose. He calls his people. Second, we'll see that Jesus is sovereign Lord as he equips his people for that purpose. And then third, as he sends his people. And then fourth, we're going to see Jesus as sovereign Lord as he judges. As he judges. So he calls his people, he equips his people, he sends his people, and he judges. So the first truth we see in this passage is that our sovereign Lord calls his people for a purpose. Look at it in verse 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples. So we see Jesus calling these 12 out of a very large group of disciples who were following him. But Jesus had a special calling and purpose upon these 12. Verse 2, the name of the 12 apostles are these. Jesus called these 12 individually. He now calls them for a special purpose. They are apostles. They are called by God and sent for a purpose. We will see that purpose as we move forward. But for now, let's look at the calling of God. Scripture is clear. God calls to himself a people. It is the mercy and grace and love of God that he calls us into fellowship with him through faith in Christ. There are many passages describing this, revealing this truth of the calling of God of his people. If you want to, write down a couple of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. And I want to read one to you now, revealing the calling of God. This is a short verse, but full of truth of being called by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul writes, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is a glorious truth, brothers and sisters. God called us, and God is faithful within that calling. The 12 were called by God, and so are we. Listen now, the 12 were called as individuals to be part of a group with a purpose. And so are we called as individuals to be part of a group with a purpose. It's called church. It's called church, the body of Christ. The biblical pattern is that God's people come together in local bodies to worship and to serve God together and to love one another. And brothers and sisters, this is God's goodness towards us, that we have one another. Has God called you as an individual into fellowship with his Son? If yes, then praise God. Praise God that you belong to him forever. But where is God calling you to be in a body of believers? Where is God calling you to be in a body of believers? Is it Country Bible Church? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I could speculate, but I won't. What I will encourage you to do is seek his will and then obey it. The feeling it out process should not take very long. There is work to be done for our God. There is work to be done, and he calls us to be all in. Determine where God will have you worship and serve and join, because time is short and we have work to do. Okay, so Jesus is our sovereign Lord. He calls his people with a purpose. He called the 12 apostles with a purpose. He calls us here together for a purpose. Number two, he equips his people to fulfill the purpose. Back to verse 1. Yes, we're still in verse 1. Our sovereign Lord equips his people. Verse 1, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. When God calls his people, he equips them. In this case, he equips the 12 apostles with authority over unclean spirits. They take with them the authority of Almighty God. Look at verse 5. Jesus also equips them by giving them instructions. Not only instructions in this passage, but all the way to the end of the chapter. He tells them what to do, where to do it, when to do it. And Jesus also warns them what will happen, and he also gives them encouragement. So God equips his people. What about us? Does God equip us? Oh, yes and yes. We could do a series on how patiently and faithfully and perfectly God equips us by his grace. The most amazing reality of being equipped is the Holy Spirit of God in us. We have God in us, in us. God is in us, and he enlightens us to truth. He is the one that convicts us of sin and gifts us special gifts and empowers us to serve and comforts and encourages us and sanctifies us. It is God in us doing these things. We are also equipped by being forgiven of sin and set free from its bondage. We are given instruction by God through His Word. And we are given each other for encouragement and support and accountability, which is huge. And brothers and sisters, we too are given the authority of God. And perhaps it may not be to cast out demons and to heal the sick. I'm not sure about that. I don't know. But this I do know on the authority of the Word of God. I have the authority of Jesus to do what He has called me to do. And Christians, so do you. So do you. We have the authority of God. Have you ever done something under the authority of another? With the power and the resources of that other behind you? Workers, have you researched and purchased something on the authority of the owner? Or negotiated a contract? Or maybe perhaps you have had someone committed to jail under the authority of another. Military people serve with the resources and power of the United States supporting them. They have an authority structure and a chain of command, and at the top is the most powerful man in the world, the President of the United States. All the authority that he brings and all the resources that he brings, they are under his authority. Whatever duty assigned, the authority of the President of the United States of America is with them. Kids, have you ever babysat? You have the authority to oversee the safety of other children. That's a great authority, but with it comes great responsibility as well. Has your teacher ever had you run an errand and had the authority then to leave the classroom? You go on their authority. Do schools still have cadets? I'm serious. I don't know. Do they? Do you know what a cadet is? A cadet is a responsible child in K through 6. It was sixth graders. It was a responsible sixth grader that would stand on the street corners and help the crossing guards by holding the children back at the corner. They had a reflective harness and a badge on it, and they carried the authority of the school district. Other children had to obey them. And believe it or not, kids, guess who was Captain Cadet? Yep, it was me. I had a blue badge, and it said captain on it, and I had the authority over all the other cadets. I had the authority to leave the school building anytime I wanted to make sure that cadets were on their posts to help keep other children safe. You see, with great authority comes great responsibility. In Christ, we have the authority and we have great responsibility. Brothers and sisters, let this truth be the meditation of your heart today. Our authority comes from the Creator and Sustainer of this universe. Our authority comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. We have all of the power, all of the resources, all of the wisdom, all of everything that God is, and all of everything that God possesses is behind us. If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Amen? The higher and more powerful the authority, the more confidence we should have in serving Him in our purpose. Also, the more authority we have, the more responsibility there is as well. So this is important to remember, because as our sovereign Lord calls us people And as he equips us, we have great authority, so then we have great responsibility in number three as he sends his people. The sending details of the 12 apostles is the rest of this passage, 5 through 14. We'll work through it quickly, but the calling of God and the sending of God on us always has been and always will be about his glory. The apostles were sent to proclaim to the lost sheep of Israel what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Israel, you have heard from the prophets of old. You have prayed for and waited for the promised one who would save. We are here to tell you this is happening now. This is the time. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were sent with the authority of Jesus to witness of the one who sent them. There are a number of details Jesus laid out. In verse 6, he said, do not go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. Why not the Samaritans? Well, because of their history, there was animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews. Verse 6, go to the lost sheep of Israel, a specific group of people. Verse 8, heal and raise and cleanse and cast out so they may see signs of truth. Verse 8 and 9, Give, do not acquire. God is saying, you work for me here. I will supply you. You just go out and you give of yourselves. I'll take care of the rest. 11 through 14, they are to enter villages and homes and stay with those who would receive them and those who would not receive them or listen to their words. They were not worthy, and they were to shake the dust from their feet. Now, the shaking of dust from their feet is an interesting concept, and it leads to a deeper understanding of what was happening here. Jews considered the dust in Gentile lands, so where Gentiles live, the Jews considered the dust of that land to be unclean. So after a journey that would take them through lands ruled by the Gentiles, they would shake off the unclean dust from themselves. What Jesus says to dust, shake the dust from your feet, basically is saying if they reject the proclamation of the kingdom of God being on hand, if they reject Jesus, then they were to treat them like Gentiles. Within all the detail, don't miss the main purpose of why he was sent. They were sent on the authority of Jesus to witness of him who sent them. They were to go and witness of the kingdom of God in Jesus. And this is the same purpose God has for us. It's the same purpose. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Page 966. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. While you're getting there, listen to this recap, and then I'm going to read the last verse today, too, and then we'll look at 2 Corinthians. So we see Jesus as sovereign Lord in four ways. He calls his people, he equips his people, he sends his people, and finally, he judges. He judges. For those who rejected their Messiah, their promised Savior, he says this in Matthew 10:15. Truly, I say to you, it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Jesus judges. Listen now, rejecting Jesus is judged harshly. More harshly than the wickedness found in Sodom and Gomorrah. That verse speaks directly, don't miss this. This verse speaks directly to the worth and the majesty and the love and the sacrifice of the Son of God. For God to die and suffer on the cross and then be rejected, this is Jesus' warning. Truly, I say to you, it'll be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't reject the truth of the gospel. It will not go well for you. you sit here today and you are a born-again believer in Christ and you want a job description, if you want to know what God is equipping you to do, then this passage is for you. Pay attention to this one and come back to it. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Our service to God is one of ambassador, each and every one of us. Can you think of a more glorious position to be in? Ambassador of God, ambassador of Christ, all the authority of Christ we carry in this foreign land. We have all of the authority and resources of God as we live and proclaim his message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And by his sacrificial love, he established a way, the only way to be reconciled to God, and avoids God's wrath to come. We have the gospel of Christ. We have been given God's authority as an ambassador to make disciples throughout the world. There are many different ways to witness the love of the one who sent us. We certainly can and should be individuals as we witness the love and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness and justice of Jesus. We should proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand and is found in the gospel. We should do all of these things, but we need to not lose sight of the reality that it is together as a body of believers. It is the church, the representative body of Christ in this world. We should not lose sight that the more our church body reflects the reality of Christ, the more this world will believe and the more God will be glorified. We have been called for a purpose, brothers and sisters. We have been and continue to be equipped to serve our purpose. We have been sent to do what we were called to do. Will those who haven't joined yet join us? Or those who haven't been all in, will you get all in? Will you gather together, arm in arm together with us for the gospel? This is God's glorious calling on the church. This is God's glorious calling on Country Bible Church. I implore you to join with us. Let's pray together. Father, I just pray that this wasn't the sermon that laid another burden on people. I pray this is a word that people will see is fulfilled with joy, that serving you in this world as a foreign alien, as an ambassador of Christ is joy. So, Father, I pray that this does not a legalistic thing, Father, but a heart-motivated love for you and love for the lost reality and truth, Father, that we would come together as a body and we would reach out in the love of Christ with all of his resources, all of his authority, all of his power behind us, Father. I pray you continue to grace Country Bible Church with a proclamation and living in truth. And I pray this in his precious name.